listening to Reading Glasses, a show about book culture and literary life designed to help you read better. I'm author and book devourer, Mallory O'Mara.
And I'm Bria Grant, filmmaker and e-reader. This episode, we're talking about weird reader quirks. We covered this early on the show, Mallory. We did. We talked about it quite. It used to be a question we would ask people who came on the show. We'd say, like, what is your reader quirk? Well, we're getting into some even more quirky or weirder ones today. Like, do you read while walking? Do you follow along with your fingers? We're going to talk about the weird stuff that we do and other people do, and we're going to normalize it. How about that?
And are you ready, Bria?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Because first.
Oh, my God, Bria.
Reading Glasses. Fun Drive. It's the Fun Drive.
Fun Drive. It's the 2022 Maximum Fun Drive, and it's happening right now.
Oh,
folks,
my God.
There are only a couple days left.
A couple days? Mallory, it's today and tomorrow, and then it's over. Then it's done. That's it.
Well, That's it.
Two is a couple.
Yeah. Bria, what's Maximum Fun Drive?
Oh, man. It is the best time to sign up and become a member on our podcast network, Maximum Fun, which means you support us and you get gifts. So many people have already joined. We're recording this a couple days ahead of time, so I'll drop something in at the end to let you know how many people have joined. But we know for a fact that we already have reached our first goal of the readathon, which is very exciting. But stay tuned and hear about all this other stuff we're doing this year at the break.
And to participate in all the fun events and get access to our Slack channel and get cool gifts, go to MaximumFun.org/join to join or upgrade or boost your membership. That's MaximumFun.org/join. Any of those things, whether you're a new member, you're a boosting member, you're an upgrading member, you get access to gifts, you get to participate in all the fun events, and you also contribute to all of our goals this year. So that's MaximumFun.org/join.
And don't skip the break because we're going to announce something we're doing tonight, which is very fun, very silly, and it happens tonight if you're listening to the episode on Thursday.
But before we jump into the episode, Bria, what are you reading?
Ooh, I've started listening to a book that I meant to read last year, and I have major regrets for not listening to it or reading it. It's Cloud Cuckoo Land by Anthony Doerr.
Oh.
Do you know about this book? It was a big buzzy book.
Yes, I have never read it, but I know of it because it's a big buzzy book.
Now, is it a very complicated book to listen to on audiobook? Yes. I have had to rewind a couple of times. Yeah. It has multiple storylines going, but it has things that glassers would love. There's a lot of libraries in it. There's multiple storylines, and there's like some fun sci-fi-ish future stuff. Basically, it has so many storylines, but one is about a young woman who lives inside Constantinople, and she's curious. She wants to read, and the city is famous for its libraries, and she finds this book that about this person who longs to be turned into a bird so he can fly, and she reads this to her sister who's dying. So that's one of the stories. And then outside that same, the walls of Constantinople, there's this boy who has been conscripted to an invading army to go into Constantinople. And then there's also this library 500 years later where this kid goes in and loves the library. There's a lot of library talk. And then there's a not-so-distant future, like, spaceship where this character named Constance is alone and starts learning about this same story of this person who wanted to turn into a bird. It is... What I'm saying sounds complicated, and let me tell you, it is. But it is so beautiful. I'm super enjoying it. The audiobook is very long. I think it's like 18 hours or something like that. But I was I'm about to travel. I'm going to dive into this. It has been a really great book. Everyone has told me to read it, and I think it would have been on my top last year. So it's a little bit of a bummer that I didn't read it last year. But I'm loving it. What are you reading, Mallory?
I am reading an advance review copy of a book that you and I are both really excited about, an author that we love. It's What Moves the Dead by T. Kingfisher, author of The Twisted Ones, a book that we both really love. This book comes out July 12th, so you can pre-order it now. And it's a novella, so it's not super long. And it is a retelling of Poe's story, The Fall of the House of Usher. And it's fucking amazing. I'm almost done with it. It is really creepy, and the main character is genderqueer, so it's like more like sort of a queer retelling. And if you are unfamiliar with The Fall of the House of Usher, sort of a classic story about this like person who goes back to the childhood home of his childhood friends and finds out that this house is in ruins and there's all this creepy stuff going on. You know, typical Poe, creepy old stuff happening. Only this version is more fungus heavy.
Oh, people love a fungus heavy book, man.
The mushroom. Fungus is the thing. It is the hot item in horror right now.
It really is.
mushrooms are having a moment. Mm-hmm. But it's super creepy. It's really well written, and it's written in that like great T. Kingfisher voice that she has of like, it's kind of funny, and the main character has like all these funny observations about these like creepy things going on, and it's just absolutely fantastic. So that is What Moves the Dead by T. Kingfisher.
And mine is Cloud Cuckoo Land by Anthony Doerr.
So we want to take a moment to share some listener feedback. Lots of people wrote in about getting rid of academic books, a lot of people.
So this was, to remind people, this was the episode, Mallory, where someone had a bunch of academic books, but they were like, well, how do I get rid of these? They had like a bunch of medieval books, right? Medieval studies
books?
Yes. Okay.
Yes. And thank God we have a Sarah to chime in here.
Thank goodness.
You can always count on the Sarahs. Sarah says, Sarah here, and specifically a Sarah who has a PhD in medieval history.
Wow. Y'all need to make friends. Whoever wrote in and this Sarah need to be friends.
Amazing. Sarah says, which I teach at a small liberal arts college. If the people with the boxes of medieval studies books are up for putting in some work, they should search for medieval studies Facebook groups and list the books available. You might find some eager broke grad students and advanced undergrads excited to get copies. I'll also volunteer. If you would like to put me in contact with the book owners, I can always find uses for medieval studies books. So if the person listening, if you want to be put in touch with this amazing Sarah, let us know. Whether to keep for my own research, give to students or friends, or donate to the library at my own college, which has a relatively small medieval studies collection. I fully agree that the writers shouldn't feel pressure, but if they want to find the books a good home, there's a community of medievalists with too many books happy to give them one.
I love that. What a nice Sarah. I mean, I feel like all Sarahs are nice.
You always count on a Sarah.
Sarahs are always nice. What am I talking about? That is very great. Wow. I said this when we did this. I was like, someone in this Reading Glasses group is going to know what to do here.
Oh, yeah.
We had Jessica wrote in also about these medieval books saying, I have just the answer to Michael's problem about offloading those medieval books. Contact his local branch of the SCA or the Society for Creative Anachronism. This SCA does medieval reenactment and education, and we are always on the hunt for good medieval textbooks and reasonable prices to use for further research and expanding sources for the whole community. You can go to SCA.org to find his local branch and reach out to them. Most areas have a Facebook group for their location and people dedicated to outreach and public engagement. So I'm sure they would be happy to hear from him. Of course, there are several other reenactment groups in the States, but I mention SCA because that's what I play, and therefore I'm partial to it. SCA is... LARP is the same as LARPers, right, Mallory?
Yeah, similar.
So it's like it is like reenactment groups. So that is what it is. Yes. I hope this helps. Thank you. Thanks so much for all you do, and keep being awesome. Oh, that's very nice, Jessica. Okay, these are really good tips. I would say they're bordering on hot. I'd say they're bordering on slide whistle territory.
Also, I'm very excited to see, quick bookmark from us, I'm very excited to see all the slide whistle feedback we've been getting.
Oh, God.
People love the slide whistle. Well, we love it, too. Thank you for getting us slide whistles. So you can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. If you want a list of all the books we talk about on the show delivered to your inbox every month, you can sign up for our newsletter. There's a link in the show notes. Before we talk about weird reader quirks, we're going to take a quick break. Hey, Glassers.
You. Yes, you listening. Listen. Wait. Listen to what we have to say.
Hey, do you love listening to this show?
Yeah. I know you're like, man, Priya and Mallory put so much work into this show every single week. I sure wish I could help out in some way.
Well, you can. Right now, you can go to MaximumFun.org/join to sign up and support us. Your dollars directly support us every single month and help us keep making the show and stay independent.
Yeah, and if you sign up right now, you get stuff in return. The 2022 Maximum Fun Drive is nearly over. It ends tomorrow. Tomorrow. That means there's not much time left to get all of these amazing gifts, and we're going to talk about those gifts right now. Mallory, what kind of gifts can people get?
So at the first level when you sign up, the $5 level, you get, first off, for Reading Glasses, this is not through Maximum Fun. This is a Reading Glasses exclusive. Mm-hmm. You get access to our Slack channel. It's my favorite place on the internet, and it is bumping in there. You get book recommendations. You get to talk about book events and what books are coming out and what you're reading. It's super fun. You also get, if you send your proof of membership to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com, you get a personalized book recommendation from Bria and I. That's right. We're still doing them. You send your, just send your proof of membership in and we will send it to you. And also at the $5 level, you get all of our bonus content. Mm-hmm. Every single year, we make a bonus episode for The Drive. So you not only get this year's episode, which is us talking about our favorite and least favorite book adaptations, you get all of the bonus content we've ever done in the history of reading glasses, and you get access to all the bonus content every single Maximum Fun show has ever done in the history of those shows. Mm-hmm, that's like hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of hours of bonus content.
Yeah, and if you give it the $10 level, you get all that stuff, plus a really cool patch that we helped design that says, read more, which we completely love. It's so cute. We're so excited to see it on all of the glassers, backpacks and shirts and coats and whatever you put patches on. That will be so thrilling. $10 a month. You spend more than that on coffee. You spend more than that on I don't know what every month. But this podcast, that's less than, what is the math on that? $2 an episode. It's about $2 an episode, which I feel
know,
it's not that much.
If you think about it, it's less than you probably less than you pay for a streaming service.
Yeah, that's very true. Also, Mallory, can I talk about what we're doing tonight?
Yeah.
The night this episode comes out, tune in. We're going to play the Doki Doki Literature Club. Mallory and I
are
going to stream ourselves playing Doki Doki Literature Club as a way to tell you how much we like you. I've already played it once. Mallory hasn't. It's going to be very thrilling.
It's going to be very entertaining.
And then tomorrow night, Friday night, we're going to spend our Friday night giving you book recommendations for all the people who have joined. So if you join, if you haven't joined yet, now is the time. Join, send us that receipt, and we're going to give you a book recommendation tomorrow. But tune in tonight, no matter who you are, because we're going to play Doki Doki Literature Club to celebrate Maximum Fun Drive and to try to encourage more people to join.
And then there's more gifts at other higher levels. There's bags, there's hats, there's a creativity pack, there's an embroidered Maximum Fun membership card. There's so many things. We're so excited. Right now, go to MaximumFun.org/join. You can sign up at any level, get one of these amazing gifts, and all the gifts stack. So if you get, let's say you get the sign up at the $10 level, you get the patch, but you also get membership to the Slack channel. You get a personalized book recommendation. You get access to all the BOCO. That's right. It's not just bonus content. We call it BOCO here at Maximum Fun because we're cool. There's just so much stuff. It's the most fun time of year for us. We've had such a blast doing so many events, hanging out with glassers. Bria got to hang out with glassers one-on-one on the Instagram to give them their personalized book recommendations to their face.
It was very exciting.
Their virtual face. It was really cool. So, folks, if you're listening to this, you love the show, will you sign up to help us make it? Will you sign up right now, MaximumFun.org/join, and sign up to support us? It really means a lot to us. We are eternally grateful. We literally could not make this show without your support every month. So that's MaximumFun.org/join.
Glasses.
Glasses.
Quick update here from the Reading Glasses Maximum Fun Drive headquarters. We are so excited. We have reached that Bonnet Ripper level. We are so excited to have almost 400 new or upgrading members. It's very thrilling. If you're listening to this on Thursday, we are doing the Doki Doki Literature Club run through tonight on our brand new Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/readingglassespodcast. So join us at 3 p.m. PST. We'll be playing it for a while. It's a long game. Mallory and I will be on there. You can just go to twitch.tv/readingglassespodcast. The link will be in the show notes to join us tonight for the Doki Doki Literature Club. And then join us tomorrow night, Friday night at 4 p.m. PST. We'll be going and doing more book recommendations for new and upgrading members. So if you are like, you've waited to the last minute and you're like, I gotta get that book recommendation, I gotta join the Slack, hey, now is the time. You can join right now at MaximumFun.org/join. Send us your wheelhouse and we will send you your very own personalized book recommendation. We only do this during this time of the year, so you gotta do it now.
This week, we're talking about reader quirks. We all have them. Little things we do when we read or put our books away. So, are they really that weird, or is it just normal reader behavior? Maybe readers are all just a little strange.
I like to think so.
All right, let's go through some reader habits and see if they're really all that weird. Mm-hmm. First one, Bria, reading the last page first. Do you do this?
By the way, I just want to say, I think of weird as a badge of honor. So if you do these things and we say they're weird, that's great. and fuck us. So whatever. But I'm going to say reading the last page first. Why? I mean, I don't know. People do it, but do who?
A lot of people do this.
Yeah, I know. I don't mind spoilers, but for me, this is a person who lives on the fucking edge. Like, they're like, not only are they not like spoilers, they're like, this is a very decisive.
Demand spoilers.
They demand spoilers, and this is a very decisive thing to do. They're like, I gotta know that ending if I'm gonna read this book, which I sort of appreciate. I guess my question is, do you get a lot from this? Like, I don't think the last page of Romeo and Juliet is like Romeo died. I think it's like wrap up shit. It's like, and then I don't know actually what the last page. It probably is Romeo die. Or Juliet dying. I don't know. Do you think people get a lot from this? Like, I feel like it's like wrap up shit. And like, and then they all went home. And like, I don't think it says like the big reveal at the last page.
I honestly, you know that I don't do this. You would have to drag me kicking and screaming. You would have to hold me over the edge of a cliff to get me to do this with my little feet dangling. I would rather walk into the sea. And I know a lot of people do this, but I agree. I do not know why. Glassers, if you do this, please write in and tell us why.
I feel like I can picture it's me holding a book and I'm holding the last page and I'm shoving it towards you and you are just walking into the sea. Like, you, this is the
and
way
I'm like, no. I won't. You can't make me. I've heard from some people that it's just like a habit, or some people want to make sure like the ending is satisfying, or it's just like a weird book habit that they do. And like, I respect a weird book habit, but if you do this, please write in, because I'm very curious as to like, yeah, Bria, like what you said, like what you get out of it.
Yeah, 100%. All right, well, the next one is vocalizing. Mallory, yes. Do you do any vocalizing when you read?
I do not, but I think this one is like a trick to like help you read. So I don't know if this is a weird reader habit or more of just like a, oh, well, this helps me, you know, sort through sentences. I think it would only be weird if someone like didn't know you were reading and just heard you like muttering to yourself in a corner. Do you do this?
You know, I do. I will say I do vocalize when I'm reading scripts sometimes, especially if I need to like make sure I'm paying attention. And I do a lot of sub-vocalizing. I know I do sub-vocalizing. Like, I don't realize I'm doing it. I know that slows people down, because when we did our episode about reading paces or something, but like, sub-vocalizing does slow you down when you read, but it does help me pay attention sometimes. And especially if I'm having trouble, I'm like, oh, I can't get through this. Like, I will do a lot of sub-vocalizing, which is like kind of like, I don't even know how to do it without like, you know, but I can tell I'm doing it in my head. Yeah. And I can hear it a little bit. But just reading out loud, not in a book. Probably not. Yeah.
So next one is following along with your finger. Are you a finger follower?
Well, this is more about speed reading, right? Like, this is about speed reading and paying attention. Again, it's like we covered this on the show. I'm not opposed to it. And it does seem like it would focus your attention. I don't do it. I would worry about doing it on the Kindle, because you might accidentally press the page.
I don't think you could do this on a Kindle.
I mean, you could if you just did it with like, and this is something I do sometimes when I'm trying to get through a book, is I take a piece of paper and I'll go down line by line.
Yeah.
Especially like if it's a nonfiction book or something I'm reading for work or something, and I know I need to like I can't just like gloss over things. But I think it's a similar idea where it's like one line at a time. You don't do this though, I guess.
No. Although I will say, I just went to a wedding recently and I got like really long acrylic nails for the wedding. Mm-hmm. And it made me want to, I was reading the other day and I was like, ooh, it makes me want to like follow along, because I have these like long clacky villainous nails.
It's like, but Mallory circa 2017, 18 had clacky nails.
Oh my God. Yeah. Remember when I used to have really long nails?
Yeah. Yeah. And you could turn the pages with your nails, like yes. That was like a skill set you had.
Yeah. But normally I keep my nails really short. I don't do this. And again, I think this is just another thing that helps people read. It also makes you look like a little scholarly. You're like,
oh yeah. That, yeah, it's definitely like what a scholarly cartoon does, like goes through the pages like that.
Yes. I wonder if people develop like finger calluses from that.
Oh, interesting.
It'd be kind of cool. But
you got to watch out for paper cuts, though.
Oh, for sure. Well, that's why you need the calluses, to protect yourself.
I see.
But I know, like you said, some people use bookmarks for this, which is a good double use for a bookmark.
Yeah.
But no, I never really do this.
All right. What about counting the pages until the next chapter?
Oh, I totally do this. This is like one of my very weird reader quirks. Honestly, I love using the Kobo because it can tell me this. And when I was young, when I had like four or fewer pages left in a chapter, I would stick my fingers in between the pages to help me count.
That's cute.
I don't know why. I just love knowing where I am in a book. Like I like having the option to stop. It's sort of like how we can all watch six episodes of a TV show, but only one movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Plus it makes me feel like I've accomplished something when I finished a chapter. Like, I know where I know how many pages left. I've done this. Like, it makes me feel productive.
Yeah.
Do you do this?
Yeah, 100%. I was going to say, I mean, I set it so I know how many minutes are left, not pages are left on my Kindle. I do like that the Kindle does this for me. Because it's also, for me, like a thing where I'm like, do I have time to finish this chapter? Oh, it's only 4 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah, I can do this. Or if it's like, oh, this is a 60-minute chapter, I may not start this right before I go to bed. This may be a bad idea. So I do like that aspect of it, but I'm not like counting pages, I guess.
Well, that kind of goes into our next one, which is only stopping at like breaks. Like, you're not stopping mid-paragraph. You're only stopping at like a page break or a chapter break. Is this where you like to stop?
I would love to do this. Like, this would make me very happy if I would do this, but I generally fall asleep reading. So I tend to start when my dreams start mixing with the book where I'm reading and all of a sudden I'm like, how am I in the Tower of Babel? Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm now in the Tower of Babel.
I am Sendlin. Like, I'm ascending.
Or I'm like, why is my cat in this book? Like, you know, like something happens and I start to mix dreams and reality. And I'm like, oh, time to go to bed. And then I basically, when I pick up my book the next night, I go back like 3 or 4 pages. So I would love to stop at a break. And I sometimes do if I get to the end and it's like, okay, I am tired. I should just go to bed. And I'm in at the end of the chapter. I will try to, but it is pretty hard for me. What about you? Do you stop at the chapter breaks?
Yeah, I do this, or at least I try. I definitely like a clean stopping place. If not the end of a chapter, at least the page break. I don't know. It just like feels neat and organized to me. And it just makes me, I think it makes it easier for me when I pick the book back up. Like, I'm not jumping right into what's happening. Like, I'm starting where a new chapter or section is starting. I have a hard time. Like, if I'm mid paragraph, I'm like, wait, hold on. What's happening? What was happening here? Mm-hmm, it feels like I can get back into the book easier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why we have chapters and it's not just one really long book. I think it helps
big
us.
Book hunk.
And I know a lot of people were like, someone just requested for their reading recommendation because they joined during the Maximum Fun Drive, which you can do right now, maximumfun.org/join. They requested a book with short chapters. And honestly, I feel that. Like, if I'm like,
I feel that.
3 minutes. Yeah, I'm going to read this chapter. Oh, another 3 minutes. That is easier than six minutes. And I don't know why.
And it makes you want to read more because you're like, wow. It's like when you're working out and it's working out at like low weights or doing something easy. You're like, well, I can do another 10 minutes of this.
100%.
I'm a superhero. This is so easy to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, Mallory, this is by far the cutest quirk. Covering up the suspenseful part of your hand so you don't read it too fast. Do you do this?
Oh, I do. I have to because I read really fast. And if I don't stop myself, like if I'm at an intense part of a book, my eyes will like dart ahead to the bottom of the page to see what happens. So I have to stop myself and I'll either put a bookmark or my hand so I don't spoil it.
That is very adorable. It's like, you know, when you're like an animal starts running too fast and like can't stop themselves and they like just run right into like, you know, run into a wall or something. This is like the reader equivalent of running into a wall.
So you don't do this.
I do not do this. Maybe I don't read this fast, or maybe if I do read ahead, it doesn't bother me. I don't know. I just have never even thought to do this. I mean, I can see why this would be important if you were doing like maybe a graphic novel, because it's like so there. Like, I would just be able to see and be like, oh no,
yeah.
I see the thing that I you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't really do this.
Okay, last one.
Okay.
Do you read while you walk?
No. I listen to, I almost said books on tape, as if I'm carrying around a tape recorder, a Walkman, and a pair of old headphones and like maybe like the 14 tapes it takes to get through it. I'm just carrying that around my neighborhood. can you imagine? I do listen to audiobooks while I'm doing a lot of things, but no, I'm not reading while walking. Are you reading while walking? I see people do this on the treadmill and I'm like, how? I would get motion sick, I think.
I can do this, and I definitely was guilty of doing this like when I was in school. Like, I was that nerdy kid who was like walking around the hallways with my book. Mm-hmm. But I don't do it anymore just because, I would just rather listen to an audiobook.
Well, it's easier. Again, we don't have to carry around like 14 tapes to listen to an audiobook. Yeah, so it's much easier to listen to an audiobook these days.
Yeah. And I would rather like look around my neighborhood and not like walk into a tree.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But some people are really good at doing this. I know that there's some glassers who can like walk around the neighborhood and read a book.
It is very impressive. Yeah.
So what do you think your weirdest reader quirk is?
I'm going to say maybe how weird I am about my various TBR lists. I have multiple. They're organized in a way only I understand, and I don't want to get into it. I'm watching a lot of Parks and Recreation right now, and Billy Eichner is on like one of the later seasons, and I'm like, I think I'm like just imitating Billy Eichner. Anyway. Also, here's another reader quirk, a wasteful reader quirk. I will sometimes have a physical copy of the book and then I wait for the library digital copy to read, even though the physical book is here waiting. But if the library book shows up digitally, I'm like, oh, I'll just read it now. Even though
you love an ebook.
And though I physically have the book, the book is sitting in front of me. But I just am like, oh, but I would much rather just, and it gives me a time limit too, because it's like, you got to read this right now. Instead of like, oh, well, it's here all the time. I don't have to read it right now. That is a weird, wasteful quirk that
That's how I know you really want to read a book. Like if we get a print arc and you're like, all right, I'll just read
it. Fine, I'll just read it. Yeah, that's true. What about you? What is your weirdest quirk?
So I asked my boyfriend, Jeremy, for this. And I was like, what is the weirdest reader thing that I do? And he was like, you have upstairs books and downstairs books. And it made me laugh really hard. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, you have some books you only read in bed and some books that you only read in the living room. And he's right. I never really thought about it, but it is kind of weird, I guess. Like there are certain books that like, I keep by my bed. And we've talked about it on the show a little bit before. Like I, you know, sometimes if I'm reading an essay collection, like I like to read an essay before bed. And then all of my more like fiction stuff and graphic novel stuff I keep in the living room, and those are my upstairs. And I never realized that Jeremy in his head called them my upstairs books and my downstairs.
Wait. Books. Is your bedroom's downstairs?
Yeah, that's the weird part, is that in our house, because we live on like a mountain, like our house is very we have several floors of our house. So our bedroom is downstairs and our living room is upstairs. And so my upstairs books are all of my novels and my graphic novels.
Oh my God. That's so cute. I have what I call like my morning book usually, which is a graphic novel. Right now it's like a big like coffee table book that I'm like reading through, mm-hmm. which is going to take me probably a year to get through. I'll read like a page while I'm having breakfast basically. That's my downstairs.
I highly recommend having different books for different parts of your house. Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can send your reader quirks to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Before we answer a reader question, we're going to take a quick break.
Hot book tip. Hot book tip in the morning with Bri and Mallory. Here's a hot book tip. Why don't you join Maximum Fun? That's the best hot book tip there's ever been.
It is. It is the hottest book tip of all time. Holy shit, Bria. It's the 2022 Maximum Fun Drive.
It really is, and it's the best time to join at MaximumFun.org/join. And guess what? You only have till tomorrow. You have to do it today. You have to join Maximum Fun ASAP.
Bria, how much time does it take us to make one episode of Reading Glasses? Just one.
I think it takes between you, me, and Sean about 20 to 30 hours every single week. How do we make this show, Mallory?
First, we get an idea, either that's from me or you or Sean or something on the internet, or maybe a Reading Glasses listener sends us a really good idea for an episode on our email address, and then I write the episode, then we have to record the episodes, and then Sean has to do his Sean audio magic on the episodes, and then you edit the episodes, and then I do the show notes for the episode, and then you have to upload the episode, and then we both have to promote the episode. This happens every single week.
Yeah, and what we're saying is this is our job. This is a job we do. This is not something we do.
Yes.
It is fun. We have a great time doing it. We love talking to y'all. We love talking about books. It's a great job, but it is a job. And how are we able to do this every week, putting it out there so people can listen to it for free?
With the support of listeners like you. Right now, you can go to MaximumFun.org/join to join and support Reading Glasses for as little as $5 a month. So you're getting 4 episodes of Reading Glasses for $5.
That's right. Hey, you want to tell people about our goals? Because we have some really cool goals and we have some members-only events that will happen throughout the year if we reach certain goals. You want to talk about those?
Yeah, we've already reached a few of them. We're really excited. We reached our first goal, which was 100 new or upgrading members, which is the readathon. That was really, really popular last time we did it. So we're super excited. We haven't picked a date yet, but there will be another Reading Glasses readathon. Our second goal, which we have also reached, was the Amish Book Club. We have chosen the title. So we are going to be reading an Amish romance book and talking about it. It is going to be very entertaining. We are reading a bonnet ripper. It is going to be very funny. What is our next goal?
We are trying to reach a live snack finger testing event where we will get online and we will test out snacks and figure out how dirty they make our books. We talk about snacking all the time. We thought it'd be a really fun thing to do with everybody. And Mallory, what about, this is going to be a members only event. What is the next one? If we get 500 new or upgrading members, what will that event be?
We are going to do a Zoom hangout every quarter. You get to hang out with me and Bria and other glassers, and you get to talk about what you're reading and weird book stuff and book snacks and book pets. I don't know, all the bookish things you can think of, but this is a members only thing. So these quarterly Zoom hangouts will only be available for Reading Glasses supporters.
Yeah. So will you go to MaximumFun.org/join to join and support Reading Glasses?
Right now, you can sign up for as little as $5 a month or upgrade your existing membership. If you're someone who already supports us and you're like, wow, I want to upgrade my membership, I even want to boost my membership, that counts for all of this stuff. And if you are a new person, just as $5 gets you access to the Slack channel and our regular Zoom hangouts and helps us make the show every single week. Anyone signing up or upgrading to any level gets us closer to these goals. And again, like Bria said, Drive only lasts for a couple more days. You should do it right now as you're listening.
Yeah, so please go right now to MaximumFun.org/join and support Reading Glasses. Support Mia and Mallory and our slide whistle addiction.
So that's MaximumFun.org/join to sign up and support Bria and I and Sean and our pets and the slide whistle every single week. Glasses.
Glasses. Now let's solve a bookish problem from one of our listeners. Johanna writes in, I want to write in with my top book of the year. Ooh. My favorite from 2021 is She Who Became the Sun by Shelley Parker Chan. Queer, gender fuckery, Chinese historical fiction that totally blew me away. It's incredibly smart and compelling and layered, and I'm obsessed. I also would pick Psalm for the Wild Built by Becky Chambers, but I actually haven't read it yet. I'm just excited about getting to it. Wow, just have to say, this is very cute. That brings me to my question. How do y'all feel about voting for books in awards or lists that you want to support, even if you personally haven't read them? Every year, there are lots of books I'm excited about, whether either people I've trust recommended them or I love the author's other work, so I tend to vote for them in awards like the Goodreads Choice, since I don't usually get to read the books the year they came out. Mallory, how do you feel about voting for books that you have not read?
Oh man, I feel this, especially if I love an author or if I'm friends with them. I think this is one of those things that isn't really okay, but everybody does it. I think this is like the jaywalking of the book world. You know that you're supposed to wait for that light. Mm-hmm. It's not totally harmful, but you really shouldn't do it. And so if I'm voting in awards, I try to only vote for books that I have read. But I get it when you're going through like the Goodreads Choice Awards and you get to a category you haven't read anything in and you have the urge to just pick an author that you like. I get it. I would say try your best to vote for books that you've read. But hey, if you love an author and you haven't gotten around to reading their new book, but you want to support them and you know you're going to read the book and you want them to win an award, the book police will not come and get you.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love this idea. I love the idea of picking your favorite book before you read it. This is a very Glasser issue. I'm a big fan of this.
This is a very specifically Glasser problem.
I'm going to say I'm with you. I try to only vote for books that I've actually read, which means sometimes I just don't vote in some categories. I'm going to say I don't vote in a lot of categories because a lot of times I will be like, yeah, well, maybe I would like this other book better, and I kind of feel weird voting for a book that I only sort of like that I just happen to read in this category. But sometimes if I've only read but one book in that, I will vote for that. I figure it's fair because that author wrote a book that got me to read in this category, maybe like one I don't normally read. And I think if it was good enough for me to continue reading it in a category I wouldn't read, it's probably good enough to vote for, even though I didn't read a lot of books in that category. But look, I mean, I don't think, again, I don't know who it's hurting, especially if it's an author you love. or you're friends with or something like that. But I also, I worry about it, us just voting for the buzzy books instead of voting for the books that might be the best books. Again, I don't think you're hurting anybody, but I think I can, you know me, I love a buzzy book. I'll get drawn in, and I have to be careful about making sure the book that's the best book and not just the buzziest book is the one that I'm voting for.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So do your best. Again, it's just like jaywalking. Do your best. Try to wait for that crossing signal. Yeah. But if you are in a hurry and you want to get across the street and there's a book that you really, really just know you're going to love, or an author that you have read everything by and you adore, again, the book police are not going to find you. They're not going to pop through your wall like the Kool-Aid man and take you away. Like,
and a lot of times, I think this is a problem, is that the Goodreads Awards like comes out in December. And a lot of times I'm like, I still have a bunch of books to read before I can actually vote in this. So it's going to be an issue. I think it's a good reason to prioritize the books that you know you're going to love. I mean, it's a good reason to make sure you're reading shit that you like.
Yes. Oh, for sure. It's definitely a good wake-up call to be like, why did I read all these books that I didn't care that much about? If I was so excited about this book, I should read it right now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you want us to solve your reader problem, you can send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com.
Time to answer a recommendation request from Tara or Tara. I'm from the South, so I'd probably say Tara. Mallory says Tara. Recently, I read a great paranormal story on Wattpad. Unfortunately, it was unfinished and left me hankering for a good paranormal or supernatural story. I took to the local bookshelves, but have been hard-pressed to find anything without romance. I just want to read about people fighting ghouls and befriending ghouls or solving a mystery with ghouls, anything but kissing them. Unique creature concepts and mysteries are always a plus. Mallory, you got some ghoul friend books.
Oh my God, I love this so much. I want to punch a ghoul, I want to hug a ghoul, but no kissing ghouls. I love this, and I do have a recommendation. My recommendation for this is Daughter of Hounds by Caitlin Kiernan, an author that I love, but this is a book I haven't talked about on the show before. It's an urban fantasy horror book about a young woman who has these weird fantastical visions her entire life, and her path gets crossed with this woman who was taken by ghouls when she was a baby and now sort of like serves the ghouls in this ghoul underworld. It's a very ghoul heavy book. And these two women have to team up and fight some supernatural forces. And it's a very unique book and with lots of ghouls, and no one ends up kissing the ghouls. So I think it is perfect for this. Brea, what do you think? What are your ghoul wrecks?
The phrase that came up to me during this was, is it a kissing book? You know, that Princess Bride was like, no kissing books. I don't think I've read a book about people kissing ghouls, but I think I'd
Tara, let
to
us
read
know.
One. I would like to read a kissing ghoul book. Now, I did go to see what defined a ghoul, because I was like, what does that mean exactly? According to the Webster Dictionary, a ghoul is an evil being who robs graves and feeds on corpses. That's the actual definition of a ghoul. But I think of them as like a supernatural baddie. So can't I just say a supernatural baddie is a ghoul? Or does it have to be that robs graves?
I think this is a choose your own adventure here. We didn't get a ghoul definition with this.
Okay,
so.
Okay. Well, I'm going to recommend a book that I haven't got to talk about in a long time, which is Horror Store by Grady Hendrix. It's a haunted IKEA. Basically, this person works there and things start to go awry. And there are people something bad happened where this IKEA was, and all these people are starting to come back and there's tortury things happen. And it's a really clever book in that, like, as the book, it looks like an IKEA catalog. And as the book goes on, there's like, you know, the IKEA devices become darker and darker, and they become like torture devices and stuff. I think it's a super fun IKEA, haunted IKEA book. And it has ghouls in it. These are, I think, actual ghouls according to this definition.
But is it spelled like G umlaut?
Yeah. It's
like O H.
And it just has like one thing to put it together, and it's just ripping someone's face off. Just like a
snarl ghoul-a-flogging.
Yeah, exactly. So mine is Horror Store by Grady Hendrix.
And mine is Daughter of Hounds by Caitlin Kiernan. You can send your recommendation request to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Brea, Can you believe the Maximum Fun Drive is almost over?
Feels like it just started. No, it doesn't. We've been doing so much work. I'm exhausted already. We're recording this early and I'm exhausted. It's been very fun, though. And it's always fun to connect with people. I feel like, you know, we're very fortunate because we have the Slack channel and we can connect to with people all year. But it's so exciting to meet new members and meet new people who've been listening and people who decided to join for the first time. So it has been a really great time.
We are so grateful to the Reading Glasses community. Obviously, we're very biased, but we think we have the greatest podcast community in the world. We have the most supportive, wonderful Sarahs and non-Sarahs alike who listen to this show. We're so grateful for the ones who are able to and want to support us and help us make it every month. You know, and so right now you can go to MaximumFun.org/join to join and support Reading Glasses for as little as $5 a month. Or if you already have an existing membership, you can boost or upgrade it. And that just that $5 gets you access to the Slack channel, which, again, we both love so much. It gets access to our regular Zoom hangouts. There's only a couple of days left, so you should go right now, right now. You can go to MaximumFun.org/join to join and sign up, support us, get access to all this fun stuff, and help us make the show.
Yeah, we cannot thank you enough. We love doing the show. We want to continue doing the show. So will you support us? Will you become a member and support us every month? It's just $5. It helps us out so much. It helps us to continue to make this show. So please go MaximumFun.org/join.
Glasses.
Glasses.